With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's go there.
With Shira and Ryan.
Oh my God. Entertainment.
Music. Pop culture.
LGBT plus news. Oh, let's go there.
Starts now.
Hello and welcome back to the real world. This is life after a long weekend. God,
the
how do you feel?
World.
I mean,
I feel like you've already drank like 16 Red Bulls.
Well,
bring
I do
it
have
down.
Like a bunch of liquids in front of me.
Goodness gracious. No, but I'm actually very excited to be back. You know, vacations are always fun, but it's always one of those moments where you kind of low-key miss doing something or having a set schedule, and that's how I was. And then this vacation also included earthquakes, which was a little bit much.
It's a staycation. Ryan, it's a staycation. If you didn't go outside of LA, it's called a staycation.
No, I don't think, whatever. It doesn't matter. A vacation is a vacation. Right. We weren't working.
Yes. Let's get back to the earthquakes, the bad news.
The more important news.
Where were you during the earthquake of 2019?
Dying. I almost died. This is actually my Casper corpse speaking right now. I have died and I felt my soul leave. It was actually scary. So the first one happened on July 4th. Was it July 4th? July 4th.
The first one happened.
And it was like I just was sitting on my bed and then all of a sudden I feel myself rocking. And I'm like, is Coco moving on my bed? Like, what is going on? She's scratching herself or something. Uh-huh. And then I realized, oh, the whole house is kind of shaking. And then I scream for my roommate and my best friend, DeMarcus, and he's on the balcony. He almost dies. And then the second one, where it was a more
talk
intense.
Talk about dramatic.
No, it was an intense situation because I've also, this was like my first experience of actually like experiencing an earthquake.
Yeah.
The rest of them I've always been asleep for. And so the second one, I was sitting on my couch. DeMarcus was on the balcony again, his favorite place.
And roommate's always on the balcony.
It just starts shaking a little bit like more. And then Coco's eating, not even caring that there's an earthquake. I feel like dogs are supposed to be, you know, that kind of the sixth sense.
Yeah.
Where they're supposed to let you know, like, oh, hey, get your ass up.
Supposedly they feel it like a day in advance or hours in advance.
Yes, I don't
know.
Coco's a terrible dog. I'm going to switch her in for a stuffed animal because she did nothing. She just wanted to eat and I had to pick her up because I felt like the mirror that we have this really giant mirror in our apartment and I felt like it was going to fall on her. It was just a scary moment.
Yeah, it was strange. I've been through a few earthquakes. This was the first one. I mean, the first, I don't know if this is appropriate. The first one happened while I was in bed.
Just say you were having sex.
I wasn't doing it. That would be more exciting. We were just, you know,
how was that
hanging around.
You were just in bed.
We were kind of like in. I was in bed, you know.
Let me tell you.
I was having a little play date.
This isn't a PBS special. You're allowed to go there a little bit.
Really? But imagine you're like hooking up with someone and an earthquake happens.
Right.
I was like, at least bring it on when, you know, I'm at my big moment.
I mean,
that would have been epic.
That would have been a goal where it could have been like, I could have tweeted like, sorry guys, I just had a great orgasm. It was me.
And then, yeah, right? I'm the one who created the earthquake.
I created the earth-shattering earthquake.
I'm so powerful. Or I don't know, I would have felt powerful or the guy would have felt pretty awesome. You know? Anyway.
I just feel like I need to, actually right after that, I re-screwed in my screws in my bed because I was like, I'm the one that put my bed frame together.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I don't think I did this correctly because it was just moving too much. And so I had to re-tighten screws because I feel like everything was just going to shatter.
Well, you're looking out for the future, though, whether it's
for
an earthquake
sure.
or something else.
Yeah, because apparently the big one's coming. And not a big one in a good way.
Not a big one in your bed, but a big one in general. Who knows? Just get that emergency quake kit, whatever you need to do.
Yeah, an earthquake kit? Yes, I have to get one. We need to go shopping for one.
Yeah, because I'm more scared about being here if it happens.
Oh, I'm about to move. We about to take this show. Let's go there. It's hitting the road.
Right? All right. Let's get into what's trending in the news right now. It was a big weekend for the U.S. The U.S. women's national team won the World Cup against the Netherlands. It was huge. Megan Rapinoe playfully doubled down on her assertion that it's impossible to win the World Cup without lesbians. We love her. She said, we already discussed this. Signs is signs. Gays rule. She scored 6 goals in this year's World Cup and earned the Golden Boot. And she reiterated, all about the LGBTQ community on the USWNT's official account. They also tweeted a picture of her, as well as Ashlyn Harris and Allie Krieger, all out players, kissing their World Cup awards, along with the caption, told ya.
You know, seeing all of the news around this really made me want to jump into soccer as the sport.
It really brought it to another level.
I really feel like I was missing out on something. And then the one thing, especially kind of finding out all this news, is how much they are underpaid. I mean, the girls, the women, they only get paid $250,000, while the men get paid $1.1 million or something. And they're not even, the girls have won 4 times the World Cup. So there's a whole gender pay equality gap that is happening, and I'm happy that that has been kind of pushed forward.
Yeah, and she definitely, besides talking about, the LGBTQ plus community, a lot of the players, including her, have talked about this equal pay and the fact that once again, they're winning. And also the ratings this year proved that that people are interested in seeing women play soccer. And so now finally it's time to change the system.
I mean,
and
the men
the
weren't
game.
Even on the radar. And so I think with sports, it always goes into who's going to be filling in seats, who's buying tickets and all that stuff. But at this point, the women are better at everything when it comes to soccer.
Let's be clear. I'm not even into sports, and I was into this. Now, also over the July 4th holiday weekend, the U.S. House voted to defund Trump's transgender military ban. More good news. Politico.com reports, during debate on a $1 trillion spending package, lawmakers voted 243 to 183 to adopt an amendment from Representative Jackie Speier to block funding to implement the new policy, which Democrats slammed as discriminatory and arbitrary. Now, also, it wasn't just Democrats voting, because there's only 235 Democrats. That means there are a lot of Republicans, too, which is great. So we'll see what happens. Most progressive votes in the U.S. House, the same vote isn't likely going to happen, though, in the Republican-led U.S. Senate. So that's where things might change. Now, big news here in the Hollywood, but also political world, multimillionaire Jeffrey Epstein.
He is not in Hollywood. I mean, maybe, but no one really knows him celebrity wise.
Yeah, he's been known as an investor also to the stars as a money manager. Well, he pleaded not guilty to operating what U.S. prosecutors allege was a sex trafficking ring where he paid girls as young as 14 to have sex with him. The twist, though, Donald Trump might be involved. We'll tell you how on What's Trending in the News coming up right after this.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan.
News today came out about money manager and billionaire Jeffrey Epstein, who's been accused of sexually abusing dozens of underage girls, bringing them to his home for massages that led to sex. He was actually, though, indicted in 2007, and he only got 13 months in a county jail, thanks to a deal signed by Alexandria Ocasio. Does that name sound familiar? That's because, he's now President Trump's Secretary of Labor, but then he was U.S. Attorney for Miami. So it's bringing up a lot of connections to our current administration, and here to share more and the implications of all of this is Richard Fowler, contributor for Fox News and Fowler Nation. Welcome back to the show.
It's good to be back with you, Sharon Ryan. How are you? Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. Back in it. So tell us about this guy, Jeffrey Epstein. What do we need to know about this guy? Because it seems like he's gotten away with a lot in the past.
And that's what makes this story so interesting. But here's what we do know about Mr. Epstein. I mean, number one, we know that he was a very rich Wall Street financier who engaged in this sort of illicit behavior per the reports from the charges of SDNY. Or the Southern District of New York, which is, one of the districts that handles many of these cases as part of the U.S. Attorney's Office. Now, what makes this case interesting, before, as you said, is that he was once charged with the same crimes, this time, or similar crimes, and he served a shorter sentence under Labor Secretary Alec Acosta when he was the U.S. Attorney General for the Miami area. But what, so this just sort of says to me what we already knew to be true, right? Is that there's two systems of justice. There's one system of justice in which millionaires and billionaires can use their power and influence to wager the system to make life easy on them, whereas everyday regular Joes who get in trouble, sometimes they do nothing wrong, like in the case of the Central Park Five, right? Obviously, different courts in different times, but very same thing.
Yeah.
These gentlemen are nothing, and they didn't get equal justice, whereas then people like Mr. Epstein can use his money to get unequal justice because he clearly is somebody who, based on these reports, right, so we can only base it on what is not what we know to be true from this evidence, and we'll have one in the court when the jury rules on this stuff. But it seems as though from the report, engaging in illicit behavior with little girls.
Yeah, I think the scariest thing about this is, you know, the Acosta part where, you know, Trump's now, it's his Secretary of Labor, but he was also kind of on a list of being a replacement for Attorney General Jeff Sessions, who resigned earlier, you know, in this month, I believe it was, or in this year. I think it's interesting kind of what this really says about this man that's in power and having these high-level connections. I mean, there was even part of the story was talking about Bill Clinton and how Bill Clinton would use his jet 28 times to, you know, ride in his jet to travel, and it was like without Secret Service. What secrets do you feel like could come out possibly about some of these high-level people that probably have a lot of people shook?
You know, listen, we're going to have to wait and see on this one because it's unclear what prompted the U.S. Attorney's Office of the Southern District of New York to file these charges to begin with. We don't know if there are other co-conspirators engaged in this, if there's going to be other charges filed for. But, you know, the friends that he pals around with could be engaged in some of this behavior. But this is, once again, things that we do not know. This is all speculation. And we'll have to wait and see how the court process plays itself out. And I say this on everything. And I mean, Mr. Epstein deserves the same due process that even though it wasn't afforded to Central Park Five, should provide to them. And so I do believe he deserves due process. He's innocent until proven guilty. Let's let this case run its course. Let's see what evidence comes out, and let's see how the jury rules, or let's see if he settles before he goes to court.
It just seems very suspicious that, you know, and the Miami Herald published this series of stories titled Perversion of Justice. It talked about how Alexander Acosta worked in conjunction with Epstein's lawyers to engineer this non-prosecution agreement and kept it secret from Epstein's victims so they could not object. And now he's Secretary of Labor. He oversees a massive federal agency that provides oversight of the country's labor laws. That includes human trafficking. So isn't it interesting that, you know, he's been able to get away, this Epstein guy, with possible sex trafficking, and he had dealt with Acosta before. It just seems like there's a lot of things that are being, I guess, or laws being broken here, or people are finding the gaps to do majorly illegal things.
So here's the thing. I think now that he is labor secretary and he's paid for by the American people, he's our labor secretary, not Donald Trump's, but he's ours. We pay his salary, the taxpayers. I think it's very important for the Congress. This is where the Department of Governmental Oversight, the committees on governmental oversight come into play, and how they can be very useful here. Ask Mr. Acosta about this behavior, because I think you're right, Shira. Part of his job is to protect people from trafficking. And so if he was engaging in behavior as a prosecutor that let individuals go for that same type of charge, then one should be able to question him in public and ask him. Don't get me wrong. I would not be surprised if during his next oversight hearing on Capitol Hill, these questions do come up from a Democratic committee member, from Democratic committee members wanting answers for the people of this country of what he engaged in when he was U.S. attorney in Miami.
I mean, you talked about due process earlier and how, you know, obviously everyone deserves that. But in terms of, you know, kind of the criminal justice system and how kind of it obviously needs a systematic reform, do you feel like that's ever going to come to light? Do you feel like, you know, with a lot of these 2020 candidates and the Democratic candidates, you know, people are talking about that, but do you actually feel like there's going to be a change systematically that we're going to see in our lifetime?
I mean, I hope there will be a change. And I think, truth be told, I think the change requires that we all work together on this, right? We can't just depend on a president to come in and change our justice system, because our justice system has so many different parts to it. And a lot of the times, Mr. Epstein's being charged from one of the top prosecutors in the country. But what we're dealing with when we talk about a broken criminal justice system, it's what happens on the local level. What's happening in your town? What's happening in your county? which judges are being elected, which judges are being appointed, do they look like the communities they serve? And these are the questions that I think voters all across this country are asking themselves. And what we saw happen in Houston in the past election is where the voters of Houston said, we want judges that look like us. And at that particular point, they elected 19 black women to the bench, a historic election in Houston, because the voters said, we want judges that can adequately judge us because they look more like our community. And I'm not saying anything. This doesn't necessarily be by race. It could be by value system.
Right.
Oh, and so yeah. I think when we talk about how we fix our justice system, it starts with, one, changing the rules and changing the laws, electing folks to do that, lobbying them to do that. But beyond that, it also requires that we get engaged in some of these local judges' elections. Who's running for judge? What do they believe in? What do they stand for? How do they answer the questions about profiling? How would they deal with the non-prosecutorial agreement, like we see in this Epstein case? And how do we find judges that really reflect the values that we want to have as a community?
Yeah, well, Richard Fowler, thanks as always for bringing us all your insights. Mm-hmm. And welcome back after the long weekend.
It's good to be back. It's good to see y'all. Happy Monday.
You too. You can check out Richard on Fox News and Fowler Nation. Now, just as an update, Jeffrey Epstein pleaded not guilty to the charges he is facing, which is, again, one count of sex trafficking of minors and one count of conspiracy to engage in sex trafficking of minors. We are moving on from what's trending in the news to top stories in pop culture and entertainment news. What's the tea?
Yeah, so coming up in 9 minutes, Ariana Grande released a statement after her continuous breakdowns during her concerts. And Halsey is being accused of queer baiting. Ugh. So we're getting into that. You're listening to Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan on the new Channel Q on your radio and radio.com.
Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan.
Alrighty, we are back with What's the TR Entertainment Pop Culture section of the day, where we talk about all the pop culture news that you probably missed. And first and foremost, I most definitely wanted to say we are sending tons of love to the family of the Disney actor Cameron Boyce, who died at age 20. The actor was famously known for his roles in the Disney Channel franchise Descendants and the TV show Jesse. A family spokesman told ABC News that he passed away in his sleep due to a seizure, which was a result of an ongoing medical condition. That is, people have recently updated that story, saying that he had epilepsy. And so he was such a great guy. I had the pleasure of meeting him a couple times, and he was so sweet every time I did. And so I wanted to take that time out to really say we're sending lots of love and RIP.
So sad.
He's such a light. But moving forward, Ariana Grande, you know, mm-hmm. she has been going through a lot where she's been kind of dealing with, you know, just a lot these past couple years. And there was a clip where she broke down into tears midway through a super emotional performance of her song REM. And a fan, everyone was just freaking out about it because she was just literally crying through that entire thing. Here's a clip of it, kind of, and then we'll talk about it. So in that clip, you can see her visibly, like, not being able to sing and getting so emotional. She's just sitting there and she's just crying. And a fan video of the moment was posted to YouTube, which shows Ariana visibly crying during the song and shaking her head and putting her hand into her face as she tries to get through the lyrics. Before you speak, don't move, because I don't want to wake up. Ariana, because it caused so much, like, you know, people were scared and all her fans were wondering what was going on, she ended up releasing a statement on Twitter, and it's since been deleted, explaining, I feel everything very intensely and have committed to doing this tour during a time in my life when I'm still processing a lot. She continues to say, so sometimes I cry a lot. I thank you for accepting my humanness. I'm not sure what I did to deserve to meet so many loving souls every night to feel so much love, but I want you to know that it really does carry me through. I feel it and appreciate it and all of you so much. Now, I think all of this major, you know, success of her new albums, and then, you know, her past couple years with that devastating Manchester Arena bombing, and then the death of her ex-boyfriend Mac Miller, and then her very public breakup with Pete Davidson, I really believe that she should have taken a break. I think she's put all of this energy into her music, which is beautiful, but it just feels like she's not giving herself enough time to really navigate grief and sadness, and instead she's just piling on work.
And trauma.
Yeah,
major trauma that could take a lifetime to push through. Yeah, I think that a lot of us think that by distracting or escaping and doing all this stuff, like, yeah, it will get us through. And that's a temporary band-aid. I think that ultimately it does catch up with you.
Yeah.
And that's when you start breaking down and doing stuff like that. I think what she's doing is healthy, though. You know, instead of just acting like it's all good, the problem is there's real time that needs to be taken to process it, like you said. And it seems like, when is the world tour over, the Sweetener World Tour?
Oh, she just added more days. She added more U.S. days. So, and I think also European days. So my thing is, I get where she is, you know, where she's saying, you know, I'm very human and I'm experiencing emotions, but honestly, she's not giving herself that. And she ended her post with this before we, you know, had to go into break. She said, I want you to know that if you're hurting, you can push through and are not alone. It's hard to balance taking care of the people around you, doing your job, and healing / taking care of yourself at the same time. But I want you to know you aren't alone, and I think you're doing great. Love you. My thing is, she's going to have to take her own advice and realize, hey, I need my time to take care of myself, because it's always that whole pot calling the kettle black. It's like, you can say, you know, do this, but if you're not taking your own advice and you're continuously touring and going through these emotions, what's going to stop you from having that super major
breakdown? In front of everyone?
It's going to be something that you're going to wish that you never did.
It seems like from that, it's like she is supporting a lot of people around her financially, I'm sure, and I feel like she already has the pressure of her fans and, you know, giving herself to that because she has this album. But imagine how many people she supports on a tour. That's why I could see that pressure of ending it could be really intense.
Well, at this point, it's her own kind of, it's all in her hands. She has the ability to say, I need to take a break, and she can do that. But if she doesn't do it, then she's not going to allow herself to get any better. But coming up, we have more stories in What's the Tea. Find out why people are accusing Halsey of rainbow marketing strategy. And do they have a point? Well, she's setting the record straight, and we're breaking it down in 7 minutes. You're listening to Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan on the new Channel Q on your radio and radio.com.
Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan.
We're back with What's the TR Entertainment Pop Culture Stories of the Day, darling. All right, so let's get into it, because Halsey is having to set the record straight after being accused of rainbow marketing strategy, which this is a new term that I've never in my life heard of.
Okay.
But let's get into this. So Halsey, she's defending herself against criticism that she uses rainbow flags in her show as a marketing strategy. So the singer captioned on Instagram a post of her on stage in Brazil, and she's like, peak bi girl evolution, and that's what she captioned it. And she, and basically in the post, there are two images. In the first, a rainbow flag is crumpled at her feet, and in the second, she is holding it in her hand. One user said, rainbow is the new marketing strategy. Halsey continues to say, Halsey, who of course is a known bisexual, everyone knows this, that
not a new one. New bisexual. She's not just like recently out. She's been
around. She's been out for years at this point. And basically she says, there's been a flag, and she responded to this criticism saying, there's been a flag in my show for 5 years. You're just not paying attention, you whiny little baby.
Ooh.
So, and also her fans were quick to kind of jump to her defense as well, where they were like, she can market the rainbow for me forever. She's bi. You don't have to be a genius or even a diehard fan to know that. She puts in all her music. Before you comment, people. And another user said, you give me the strength and courage to come out as bi. So here's the interesting thing. Do I think that user was lying when he said rainbow is the new marketing strategy? I don't know if he was specifically saying that was what she was doing, but I do think he had that user has a point of saying, you know, rainbows are this kind of new marketing strategy that everyone is kind of using in some ways, as, you know, either celebrities are using and coming out all of a sudden as like their moment to kind of really relate and kind of enter peak, you know, celebrity, because it feels like being gay is just very cool, or being othered is very cool now. No one really, let's be real, no one really wants to be a cis hetero white person anymore. Like it's if I'm being caught out of those shades here. But I think everyone is kind of going against the grain when it comes to that.
Some people want to know what they represent. Like,
yeah.
If you don't, right? Like, what is my voice? Who am I? What's my identity? And it's like,
right.
I feel like I can't just be... Once again, just blah.
Well,
like I feel like white, cis, hetero, all these things are known as like, all right, you, there's...
Well, I don't want to say that because I don't think it's blah, but I do think because stories come from that perspective have been kind of the what has kind of controlled narratives for so long, people are tired. They want
new experiences.
They want new stories. I'm not going to say all white people are just blah.
I just said that about myself.
but I do think it's interesting that you do see nowadays and more, and this could be a very controversial statement, that people are jumping on this quote-unquote bandwagon, are kind of queer baiting in some way. I think I just saw a video of Tom Holland, the Spider-Man guy, and Jake Gyllenhaal, where they were like pretending they were about to kiss.
What?
And everyone was just like, okay, either kiss or don't kiss. What? Don't like just freaking queer bait acting like you know, it's cute to act like you're going to have this romantic moment. It's kind of like dumb at this point.
Yeah, wouldn't that be considered queer baiting because you're using something that is real for other people and saying, because we know it's hot and like.
But two hot guys can get away with it, especially two white guys can get away with it when they're like, oh, they're, and people ship them and they stand them in some way. So it's like, it's a very interesting conversation that I feel like does need to be had, but don't attack people like Halsey, who is a known part of this community, and she wants to make sure she uses her platform to showcase what she's, you know, what she wants to say, like, what she wants to believe in.
Representation and diversity is so important, but then, you know, you don't need to call everyone out. Call the right people out. But, you know, and we've talked about this.
Call people even in the community out when they aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing, if they're not doing it in the right way.
Don't have good intentions.
You can hold people accountable, but make sure when you're holding them accountable, there's some backup to it. You have, like, your facts together, and you're not just calling them out to be a troll.
I just think it's so easy to get mad at everyone these days, whether you're in the community or not in the community. We have to make sure we're supporting each other in the right way, but, yeah, calling out people who are inauthentic.
Or else
people are not going to want to do anything and just keep to themselves.
Well, that Instagram post has already 1.1 million likes. That concludes What's the Tea. If you want to check out other stories like this one, or actually, this is a cool time to plug, the Morning Beat, Morning Beat's Michaela Gordon got an awesome opportunity to interview Halsey, and we were going to play a little clip of it, but we ran out of time. But she talks about her experience being bi in the music industry, and you should head over to our wearechannelq.com to check that out and other pop culture stories.
She's amazing. I love her. Well, don't go anywhere because we've got Troy Solomon joining us right after this. He's known as a bear named Troy on Instagram. He's a social media star, body positivity advocate, and his new song, Champagne and French Fries, is just what we need today back at work after
and
a long
Shira's
weekend.
Shira's also going to find out what a bear is because she does not know.
We learn after this.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan.
Now here's what's trending in the news. Top of the hour, the city of West Hollywood is taking measures to warn residents about the dangers of fentanyl after a young gay man died, at least in part from the drug. This is actually something, it's happening in West Hollywood, but it's happening around the country, so listen up. In May, Devin J. Lopez Bergman was discovered dead in an apartment along with Von York, a 53-year-old chef for NBC Universal. While York's cause of death is still unknown, the Los Angeles County Coroner confirmed Lopez Bergman died from a combination of cocaine, MDMA, and fentanyl. A legally prescribed pain reliever, fentanyl is 80 to 100 times stronger than morphine. So the Center for Disease Control has said that fentanyl is a synthetic opioid that has been involved increasingly in drug overdose deaths from 2013 through 2016. The number of deaths approximately doubled each year. In May, the City Council of West Hollywood allocated $20,000 to APLA Health and the Los Angeles LGBT Center to provide fentanyl testing strips to anyone who wants them. So, by the way, head there if you want them, because be on the lookout. The strips are available at all LGBT Center locations and APLA Health Centers. The Harm Reduction Coalition provides more information on testing strips and how to use them. That's called the Harm Reduction Coalition. Meanwhile, $15,000 was allocated to APLA to create a public education campaign on fentanyl that targeted the LGBTQ community during Pride Month. Now, this is something, and we talked about this, not on the show, but very personal, because I have a very close friend.
We talked about it on the show, too.
Yeah, a long time ago. It feels like forever ago. But it is a huge issue, and there are a lot of people that think they're taking other things like MDMA and cocaine, and it is... it has fentanyl in it, and it can kill you. So please be careful.
Yeah, we did an entire drug awareness kind of series earlier in the year. So you should head over to WeirdChannelQ.com to check that series out under Let's Go There with Sharon.
Very scary and very important. Now, an anti-gay preacher has been arrested after confessing to his congregation that he had a sexual relationship with a young boy. John Thomas Martin, the lead pastor at Lighthouse Baptist Church in Florence, Alabama, broke down in the pulpit while telling churchgoers about his, quote, affair with an underage male. He admitted to abusing the boy on multiple occasions, both at his home and on trips. He also repeatedly sent explicit text messages. After confessing to his congregation, he checked himself into a psychiatric unit at North Alabama Medical Center and turned over two guns. He's now been arrested and charged with four counts of sexual abuse involving a child younger than 16 and is currently being held in the Lauderdale County Jail with $60,000 bail. If convicted, he faces up to 10 years in prison for each count. Well, that's a turn of events for a lot of pastors that don't come out about it, and he did. Yeah. I mean, like, that's... I found this story really interesting because we don't hear this. We usually hear people saying that this has been done to them, but the fact that this person came out to share it with his congregation is crazy.
I'm not about to celebrate his coming out.
No, I'm not.
Story
I'm just saying,
a rapist.
Obviously, I'm saying it's a crazy story, but we wanted to bring it up on What's Trending in the News.
No, it's a story that I'm happy that we covered.
Yeah. I was not celebrating him, right?
No, it was just weird. I was just like, wait, where is this going?
No, I wasn't going there.
That he talked about it in front of his congregation. Honestly, dude needs help. That is scary.
And that's why he brought it up as a news story. Now, former Vice President Joe Biden apologized at a campaign event on Saturday for citing segregation of senators he once worked with as an example of his ability to work with others. You know, so basically he's finally apologizing for something we thought he wasn't going to apologize for. He's been called out by a lot of people, including Kamala Harris, for it. So we'll see if this makes a difference in the campaign for him, because Kamala Harris just keeps on going up in the points.
Yeah, he's walking back on a lot of his comments, but I'm interested if he really means it, or is he just doing it because he knows he has to save face?
I guess we'll never know. That was what's trending in the news, top of the hour, right here on Let's Go There. And now later on the show, we're asking you, do you believe in aliens? Woo! This is our question of the day. We heard you're getting some very interesting responses, as you can imagine. But first, right after this, again, we've got Troy Solomon, known as a bear named Troy on Instagram. We're finding out what it takes to be a bear like him after this.
Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan.
We are in the studio right now with Troy Solomon, a.k.a. a bear named Troy on Instagram. He's actually become one of the most recognizable male plus size recording artists and influencers on social media, and he's joining us in the studio right now. Welcome, Troy.
Hi. Troy is a star. Let me tell you that. I first meeting Troy, and just we were social media friends. I was obsessed with him. One, because as a plus size thickums man myself, it's always so hard finding like outfits and clothes, and so I always look for inspiration of like what I want to wear and like kind of going through it. And Troy has one of the best style games I have literally in my life. I die.
Thank you.
It's really good. I mean it. And I wouldn't say that because I'm really judgy.
I can see that about you.
We were talking about how hot it's going to get. And is it harder for someone who's plus size to deal with like the heat in terms of like what you're going to wear and all that? Or
oh my God, yeah.
My scissors are my best friends. I be cutting them.
What does that mean?
So like I cut things and customize and like a lot of things.
I literally don't, I pretty much don't wear anything that I buy in a store without like cutting a sleeve off or cutting the bottoms off or like cutting a slit up the side or like, just something. Or like cutting the neckline, like just anything you can possibly, or wearing, I'm wearing lace right now, so.
I love the lace.
So the interesting thing, because also you're a huge body positivity activist and and you run one of the biggest like Instagram accounts for that. What's it called again?
After Beauty Standards.
Yes. And so for me, I want to know what kind of this conversation of body positivity, it's been in and out of the media, especially with the whole Nike thing, the plus size, and just people having their things to say about plus size people. What is that? How does that feel when those conversations are coming up and they're talking about health? And how does that affect you and kind of your movement?
Ooh, that's a really good question. These are hard hitting questions.
Already, I'm diving
in. Watch out.
I mean, I think I'm not sure this is going to answer your question, but I feel like when it comes to the opinions of others on a personal level, it's kind of like mind your own business.
Yeah.
It's kind of like my health is none of your business, just the way your health is not my business.
Yeah.
When it comes to these like global instances where it's like, you know, Nike and you have these big campaigns happening and people are like coming for the fact that there's like a bigger mannequin in the store, it's kind of like, I think it's, you're kind of behind the times now if you're looking at that and you're finding something wrong with it. Like if you're looking at a mannequin that's like showing a fuller figured body and you think that that's like sending an unhealthy message, then I think you're the one that's kind of like behind. Not sure if that answered your question, but that's just like the first thing that comes to mind.
I feel like there could be the opposite body issues of saying like, I need to be this size to be happy or this or that, which is like a whole other thing. And like, and the balance between, you know, health and advocating whatever health means to each person and then being in your natural size. Like, how do you, I guess, confront those conversations?
I mean, the way I pretty much confront any conversation with anyone about, I mean, honestly, it's about health, about body size, about fashion, about anything. It's all just about a personal, like, journey. I know that sounds like silly, personal journey.
No,
but it is, and I think that it's kind of like, what's good for me is not good for you, is not good for you, is not good for you. It's like, it's what's good for you is what's good for you.
Yeah.
And all I can do is help you hopefully figure out what's good for you. And it's not, it has nothing to do with me imprinting anything on you. It's just about me living authentically, me living freely and open that hopefully will show you that it's okay to do that. And that whatever that means for you is what you can do.
We are right now with Troy Solomon, AKA A Bear Named Troy on Instagram. A bear. Okay.
Wait, before we get into a bear, because I kind of want to hang tight on that. The idea of being an activist or an advocate, there is that kind of that idea that you are trying to imprint kind of what you are, being an activist for. So I guess for people that, one, are trying to police other people's bodies, how do you kind of show who you are yourself and being an activist and an advocate? How do you do that without, I guess, being on a soapbox and being preachy? Like,
for
how
sure.
do you balance those lines?
Totally. It's so funny that the words that we use are actually very specific to me. I usually say advocate because I don't want people to think that I am an activist in that sense of, like, I don't want to push my beliefs on you. I feel like by being an advocate, I'm just saying this is something that I advocate for. This is something that I believe in. And so I kind of try to lead by example. And I hope that people see that, like what they see and feel empowered by what they see and kind of do it for themselves. But activist to me in this instance, in policing bodies specifically, it's kind of like, I don't want anyone to think I'm telling them.
It's like a pressure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
People also could get defensive, like you're being judgy or you're telling me I can or can't do something when you're an activist.
Totally.
Right? There's a good and a bad and right and wrong.
There's a lot of times activism is really important and like very healthy and very positive and very important. Just personally for me, how I approach like body positivity, I don't want to be considered like this hard-hitting activist that's like very extreme and telling you like, if you don't think this, then you're wrong. It's more like, why don't you think this? Like, can we get to the root of that? Can we help you get to the point where you think about that? Like, let's just kind of have a conversation rather than me like tell it to you.
You're like a good therapist.
I try to be.
But
thanks.
Can we talk about, no, because I was like, therapists would be great if they could just be like, this is, you should think about it like this.
Yeah.
Like asking more questions versus saying, anyway.
I guess, but how do you get to that though?
You have to love yourself.
I mean, yeah.
Because
I'm like, it's easier said than done. You can give this great advice. And we were just talking about that, how Ariana Grande gave some advice about, you know, taking care of yourself.
Yep.
But it's like, you're not doing it for yourself. So how do you navigate that? Can you pinpoint that moment in your life where you were like, oh, there needs to be a switch?
Yeah. I think when I came out of the closet, that was like, I knew from that point on I could change and I could be better to myself and I could treat myself nicer.
Yeah.
It wasn't instant. It took time. It took like a lot of like experimenting and self-discovery and like, you know, doing things with my body, like presenting it on Instagram or like even just like in relationships, like who I was sharing my body with, it was like a long process. I think everybody has to go through in their own way, on their own terms. Yeah. But it's about starting that process and like getting to that point.
So we we could talk so much more about this. There's like so many layers.
We gotta talk about the music.
No, well, I also want to just, can we just, a bear named Troy, your name. Obviously, people, some people know what a bear means.
Yeah.
Some people don't. Can you explain?
To the white woman, the straight white woman.
I don't know, there's other straight white women listening too.
A bear is basically just a big, hairy, gay man. Doesn't have to be hairy, but like usually it's like big, hairy, gay man. The funny thing about a bear named Troy is the term bear for me and what my like, this like who I am with a bear named Troy, it's like, I honestly don't even think about what, I don't even think about that in terms of like gay culture.
Yeah.
It's just become this like a bear named, I don't know. It's so funny. Like
I feel when like I did it, see guys that are just big and grizzly men. I'm like, you're like a big bear.
It's a bear.
It's more so become a persona in some way. Exactly. Like you're Sasha Fierce.
Exactly.
That's how I relate to Slay God, to be honest. Like Slay God's my Sasha Fierce.
And it is.
Like, where all of that confidence really, when Ryan wants to be a hot mess, I have Slay God to be like, oh girl, I'm still cute.
So exactly. I need one of those because I'm just like, Shira, no matter what. I'm like, God, there's no escape. Okay.
We gotta figure one out for you.
Let's get to your music. So you have a new song called Champagne. I was going to say Champagne and French fries. Let's be specific. It's available on all streaming platforms right now. I love that name because it makes me thirsty and hungry.
Yes, that's all I want. Mission accomplished.
So tell us about the song.
So I wrote this song because I, in some ways, am very contradictory of myself in terms of like, I want sweet and salty. Yeah. I want like top shelf, but I also want like the bottom plastic bottle. Like I'm very like cheap, but very luxe. So it's like, I feel like with champagne and French fries, it was just kind of like, I want champagne, but I also want French fries. But now, are you guys seeing everywhere is like, there's like an article going around on every outlet that's saying the best pairing for champagne is French fries. And I'm like, I have been saying this.
Oh, they need to give you your coin.
I know.
They need to give you your props.
You're on trend.
Royalties, I know.
I would have never thought about champagne and French fries together.
It's so good.
Oh, I'm getting hungry. All right, well, here it is right here on Channel Q, a clip of champagne and French fries by a bear named Troy.
Champagne and French fries, my favorite things in life. Take a sip and take a bite, get that combination right. Champagne and French fries, you love it, boy, don't lie. Bubbly with the deep fried, I'm feeling classy tonight.
Okay, champagne and French fries. That was Troy Solomon, a.k.a. a bear named Troy. The song is out right now, and the music video is coming out pretty soon, too, on your Instagram.
So it's a country song.
It is, like, a country pop little moment.
Yeah.
I just wanted to do something that was, like, I don't know, kind of Taylor Swift-y, but, like, not current Taylor Swift-y, but mixed with current Taylor Swift-y. Does that make sense?
Cute. It feels a bit kitschy.
Yeah, it is, for sure.
It has a very kitsch vibe.
When you think about champagne and French fries, it's kind of like, I don't know, I just felt country was like the way it had to kind of lean. But it's
well, country's having a whole moment now. I feel like it's a resurgence now. I'm a Southern boy at heart. Like, I'm from Nashville. So country for me is like, when I heard the song, I was like, oh! Yes!
You just need a rapper to be part of it now to be trendy.
Oh my God, do you want to do it?
No, he does not rap.
I do not.
He sings though. You're a great singer.
I am the worst at all things besides this.
Hey, Lil Nas X is now part of the community.
But I would live
but I think
for
a
Lil Nas X remix.
Is that the genre that you really want to go in? Or do you feel yourself genreless?
I'm working on an album now and literally every single song is pop, but they're all different types of pop.
Cute.
So I'm like definitely in pop, but I just want every song to be like a little bit of a different party.
Yeah. You know? So I guess I love that kind of description, but I guess for people that are listening to this and they're like, I want to know more about Troy.
Yeah.
What is something that they can take away from hearing your music?
Oh, that I would say life doesn't have to be so serious all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We can have some fun. We can be real. We can have real thoughts and real opinions, but we can also have fun while doing it.
I love that. A great way to get into this summer.
Yeah, a little summer anthem.
You know, summer anthem, take off your clothes, you know.
Do it.
You know,
you don't got to tell me twice.
Show me on Instagram. Tag me. I want to see you take your clothes off.
To that song.
Yeah.
Now,
exactly.
Troy Solomon again. Follow him, A Bear Named Troy, and check out the new song, Champagne and French Fries, the first of many.
Yes.
Thanks
for
being here.
We got to have you back.
Please.
There's still so much more that I feel like
this
we
was
could
so
dive
quick.
Into.
I would want to be on forever.
Yeah.
I know.
We like to keep it, you know, so you want more.
I know. Instead I'll come back one day and I'll just host the entire show with you guys.
Hey, honestly, that's on the table.
Yeah, so we always have guest hosts.
Okay.
Now, coming up, we are getting into the subject of, you know, all the bans happening right now with plastic, from straws to bottles. But will these changes actually make a difference for our environment? Will it make climate change go away?
Or will it continue? You to piss me off because I hate paper straws.
We have an expert joining us that seems to think so. So we're going there right after this. You're listening to Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan on the new Channel Q on your radio and radio.com.
Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan.
Now, more than a dozen cities around California, and I would say some around the country, are banning or limiting plastic straws. This is a big deal. It's something that a lot of people complain about because we are having a hard time letting go of those plastic straws. Let me tell you, I've never seen a bigger thing that people get annoyed about these days. Like, how dare you give me one of those paper straws? But there's also recyclable straws that aren't paper anymore. So I think the more that we ask companies to make a shift, the more a shift will happen, and the less we'll see just the, you know, those paper straws that fall apart in your cup. Anyway, environmentalists really hope this whole movement is going to start a larger conversation about plastics pollution. You know, straw bans alone, which have been criticized for not only reducing waste, will barely, though, dent the flood of plastic that's going into the environment each year. But it seems like any step is a step. I think not doing anything is the biggest mistake. From straws, we're now seeing also plastic bags being banned. It's estimated that the amount of plastic spilling into the oceans is 8.8 million tons a year. That's huge. That's the equivalent of 5 grocery bags full of plastic along every foot of coastline in 192 countries, according to researchers. Other studies show that the synthetics increasingly find their way not just into fish, sea turtles, and whales, but guess what? Into human beings. And maybe the more we realize it's going into our bodies, we'll realize that a difference needs to be made, even though we should care about the environment, the animals, too. Ryan, what?
I mean, I just so wanted to make sure you were...
I'm going on my TED Talk right
now.
Yeah,
I felt like you really were. You were on that soapbox. But here's the thing. I think people realize and understand that we have to do something about the way we are treating the earth and our climate and all these things. But my thing is, when you're discussing the idea of kind of going clean or going green, it's a lot harder... it's a lot harder to do, and especially to switch over for all of society. I want to know how, you know, these small little steps that we're doing are really going to change the way people view what they're doing.
Because,
I'm not sold.
Yeah, let's go there. We don't just talk about the stats. We dig it in and we ask the questions. We're not going to just agree with everything, obviously. Now here joining us is Trevor Nielsen, CEO and co-founder of IX Investments. Basically, they invest in economic growth and social impact companies. And he's been really at the center of some of these conversations with some of the leaders all over the world. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Sorry, let's start from the beginning.
Trevor.
Yeah, Trevor. So we have a lot of questions.
Okay, let's do it. Let's go for it.
Yeah, these plastic straws and the bans, and also now we're seeing plastic bags. A lot of, I think, skeptics are wondering, is this going to be enough to make a change and help the environment?
No, is the answer. It's not enough. But it is a place to begin.
Okay.
You know, you notice that when we start talking about plastic straws or plastic bags, it's a way of sort of opening up a conversation with people and letting people think about the way plastics pervade our lives overall. So, you know, just banning plastic straws will make very little impact on anything. That said, banning plastic bags actually will start to make a bigger impact. Yesterday, I was standing in a landfill in Panama, of all places, and this was a mountain range of waste. So picture a series of pretty big mountains that were all garbage. And within that, the vast majority of the waste that won't decompose is plastic. So, you know, little amounts here and there really do add up.
Yeah, we're talking about like football fields. I mean, I think we assume our garbage gets taken from us and gets brought somewhere, but none of us really think about where it's going and how it can come back to us, to haunt us in many ways.
That's right. And, you know, honestly, we've sort of been told that we don't need to worry about it. You know, we've been taught that as consumers, we shouldn't sweat it if there's, you know, styrofoam in the package that we get from Amazon, or we should just assume that a sandwich needs to be wrapped in plastic. Or, you know, when I got a burrito earlier today in Los Angeles, that thing had tin foil around it, then it had plastic around that, then it had a paper bag after that, you know. And so I think it's an opportunity to start reevaluating our role as consumers and deciding what we want and what we don't want.
Okay, and I think I find that very interesting, especially when we're speaking of consumers, how much of the responsibility, though, should be on consumers, because I feel like a lot of these businesses, they're the reason why we get so accustomed to what we have, like the plastic bags and the aluminum and the paper bags, all these things, those are things that people buy on a daily basis. So if you're giving them to us, then how much of an accountability do these, you know, these companies have to change what they're putting out there in masses?
Well, I think it's there are three parties that bear some responsibility. Number one is a consumer, because we have to tell companies what we are willing to consume and what we are not. You know, the movement against water bottles, for example, plastic water bottles, that is strong because people are starting to realize, why would I want to use this one piece of plastic, drink that bottle of water within seconds or minutes, and then have it sit in the landfill for 100 years. You know, so that's a good example of a place where companies are starting to realize we just won't buy it anymore, and people are starting to use their own water bottles over and over again. So the consumer has a role. The companies also have a role. You know, just because something is cheap and easy for them to manufacture doesn't mean that they should manufacture it. And you know, there's a growing groundswell of support from consumers for responsible environmental behavior on the part of big companies. Companies are starting to take notice, but they'll only really notice if consumers force them to.
Definitely. Trevor, we're gonna take a break. We're going to tease the third one, because we're going to take a break to continue this conversation. Trevor Nielsen is joining us right now, CEO and co-founder of IX Investments. We're talking about the ban of plastic, how we can be better consumers, and how we can, you know, make these companies that we're buying from more accountable. That's our Let's Go There topic of the day. More after this.
Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan.
A lot of us have been seeing these horrible pictures in our feed of animals, sea turtles, whales, you know, dying, and they open them up and they have all that plastic in them. It's really gross and disgusting. And it's been something that a lot of environmentalists are using to remind people about the importance of, you know, changing their behaviors and not using plastic. And now it's bringing up really the question, will banning plastic straws, plastic bottles be enough to fight to clean the oceans and help our environment and, you know, cure climate change and all that? Well, that's the big question we're talking about. And how do you make this accessible? Because, you know, how easy is it to really change our lifestyles when we're so used to it, you know, using a plastic bottle or using that straw? And for a lot of people, as you mentioned, Ryan, it's not cheap.
Well, I haven't mentioned it yet.
You've mentioned it to me all the time.
Off air.
You mentioned it a lot.
But I want to pose it to our
guests.
Yes.
So Trevor Nielsen is here, CEO and co-founder of IX Investments. They invest in economic growth and social impact, and also work with a lot of investors, entrepreneurs. They actually had this Entrepreneurs Impact Summit. They brought people together to talk about how we can help this issue. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much.
Okay. So,
well, Trevor, there was a third, before the break, you were telling us three people that are kind of in held accountable, are responsible for this. And we teased off that third one. Could you go ahead and finish that third one, honey? The people are
waiting. The government. You know, we're in the midst of a time when our government is taking unprecedented action against the environment. You know, the Trump presidency and the Republican Congress is hostile to many things and many communities, and one of those things is the environment, plants, animals, biodiversity, nature itself. In fact, the Trump administration has really waged a war on the environment on behalf of oil companies and coal companies and people that really profit from having lax environmental regulations. So, you know, we're going to have to deal with that, because if we have that in the White House and that in the Congress, the impact on the ecosystem that we all need to live is going to be devastating.
Yeah, I mean, you're actually so, mm-hmm. so right, and especially with this war. But I think if I kind of want to bring it back because I'm, like I say, I'm from the South, I'm from Nashville, and a lot of times it's easier when I moved out here. It was so much easier to have these conversations about veganism and clean earth this, and you go out to Venice and you see all the hippies just living their lives. And a lot of times—
No idea what you're talking about, Ryan.
That is just not a conversation that is happening in middle America. And if it is, it's like, how can I afford this stuff? It's like, especially compared to, you know, I can go with a plastic bottle that may be super cheap compared to a glass bottle that I have to go to Whole Foods to spend $10 on. So it's like, how the accessibility of the money, how do people in middle America just choose, like, oh, this
choose
is better.
Better.
Choose
better.
Choose better.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really fair point. You know, it's difficult to expect lower-income communities to lead the charge on these things. Because if folks are shopping at Walmart or their local grocery store, they may not have that many options, mm-hmm. you know. And so instead, we need the government to take a leadership position. And you know, one of you mentioned earlier climate change. This is the big problem we face. If we think that whales full of plastic dying on our beaches are a problem, the much bigger problem is the global climate emergency, and it is an emergency. And sadly, people in the middle of the country, people in the South, are feeling this almost more than people on the coast. You know, you look at the storms, the hurricanes, the droughts, the monsoons. You know, it often is people on the lower income spectrum that feel those things the most. And so the climate emergency is the single biggest problem we have, and it's really a place the government needs to take leadership.
Yeah, Trevor Nielsen joins us again, CEO and co-founder of IX Investments, as we talk about, you know, what we can all do to help the environment and be better consumers and, you know, I guess live better overall with the earth. Because, and it's not just a hippy dippy concept. I think that Ryan always thinks I'm hippy dippying over here.
It is a little bit hippy dippy, but there's also a privilege aspect to it.
Let's talk about this. Like, why, when if someone says, like, even the government, it seems like they don't believe in climate change, they don't think the environment is a priority. Why is it a priority? Can you make it understandable for people who just don't get how that we are all connected?
Sure, I can make it really simple in the case of climate change. There is more pollution, if you will, more carbon in the air right now than at any point in 800,000 years, okay? 800,000 years is a long time, so it's hard for people to understand that. But recently, the United Nations came out with a report saying that 1 million species of animals and plants are going to go extinct unless we take dramatic action to fight climate change. And so, you know, you might not understand what CO2 is exactly or how much of it is in the atmosphere. That doesn't matter. You definitely will understand what 1 million different species of plants and animals going extinct will mean. And then when you start thinking about things like the water we drink, the air that we breathe, you know, this is real world stuff. And so we have to fight back when people start trying to tell us not to worry about these things, get educated, and really become the part of the solution. And it's possible, but we have to act quickly.
Yeah, but then at this point, like, well, I think it's easier to just throw in the towel. Like, I know Starbucks, a huge company, says by 2020 they're going to remove plastic straws, even though they're still going to have their lids will be plastic. Like, I took a picture with my metal straw, and someone called me out saying, oh, yeah, but you're still drinking out of a plastic cup.
Yeah, I would have called you out, too.
Hey, I'm honest. It's a process. Like, none of us are perfect. I'd rather be doing something than nothing. I know Adidas talked about using recycled plastic from oceans now, and they're announcing different things, different companies. Like, well, are these becoming marketing ploys versus actually making a difference?
They are, but it's a good thing. And you know, I want to go back to something you just said about you know, how to create a movement. The only thing that I can come up with, which is similar to this, is when the global AIDS crisis, which I worked on, was in full swing. You may remember there were, you know, 50 million people infected with HIV.
Oh, but yeah, you worked, where did you work again? Can you mention, because it would help for some context.
I ran something called the Global Business Coalition on HIV/AIDS, and we created something called the Global Fund for AIDS, which was basically an effort to get treatment to people that didn't have it. You know, these days people take treatment for granted to some extent. Well, no one thought that we could provide treatment globally to HIV/AIDS. I remember meetings at the UN where people said, it's not possible. You know, how are poor Africans going to get these drugs? They don't even go to a hospital. Well, guess what? You know, the world mobilized, and to a large degree, not to everyone, but to a large degree, we got those drugs to the people that need them, and we really changed the course of the AIDS pandemic. So, you know, when people decide they want to come together to do something, they are very powerful. But first you have to make a decision that you want to fight, you know, for the planet that we want to have.
Wow. Okay. Well, that was a Yaz Queen of the Day early. But it's also that I think that taking the perfection out of it is what it is. Like, I'm not perfect, you know.
Nobody's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody's perfect. You know, and I drove in my car to get to my office today.
Yeah.
Right.
So I guess to wrap this up, how do you make, you know, I guess what is something that you can say that can make everyone feel like, especially, you know, middle of America, anyone that's listening, that's just like, how can I play a part
What's
in this?
What's the first step?
Yeah. What does that first step look like?
I think the single most important step is talking about what your elected officials are doing on these issues and getting informed. You know, we cannot let the oil companies control our future. If we do, it is not going to be a future that all of us want. So, you know, getting educated about climate change and the climate emergency, and then looking into what your elected officials, your representatives, your senators, and of course our president, are doing about it or are not doing about it. That would be the single most important thing.
Okay, well, Trevor Nielsen, thank you so much for joining us. Trevor, again, is the CEO and co-founder of IX Investments. Where can people find out more?
You can go to ixinvests.com. And there's plenty of information there about the climate emergency as well.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Have a great evening.
Thank you. You too. Okay, coming up, we've got our What's Trending in the News headlines, top of the hour. And, of course, get ready for a question of the day. Do you believe in aliens? It's coming up right after this.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan.
Okay, here's what's trending in the news right now. Top of the hour. We have a pride march that was happening in Tbilisi, Georgia, that was going to be happening, but unfortunately, amid opposition by right-wing forces, and weeks after having been canceled a parade, due to safety concerns, a lot of people are now talking about this. They managed to hold, though, the first nationwide pride event today. Several dozen participants marched outside the Ministry of Internal Affairs in the capital city, and organizers have planned to hold a pride parade June 22nd, but canceled it because general political unrest in the nation had led to police crackdowns on protests. The march today, though, almost didn't happen either, as the route was leaked online, which is interesting because most of the Pride's events we know, everyone promotes it, but this is something because of how scary it is and the political tensions, they wanted it to remain private. It led to threats of violence at the event. Organizers decided to cancel once again, but activists ultimately gathered near the Internal Affairs building, and they tweeted about the results, saying a Tbilisi Pride has finally happened, smaller in numbers, but we managed to get out safely, history in the making. And this is happening in Georgia right now. So we wanted to give a shout out to that, because even with all the issues and concerns, they made it happen no matter what. And that really shows what pride is all about, not just here in this country, but what's happening around the world where it isn't safe to be out and proud in that way.
Yeah, it's the capital of Georgia, actually. Yeah. And it has like 1.1 million people, like population wise, so it's pretty big. But the fact that they're still it's the South, and that's not shocking that for kind of like a small town like that going through the death threats is very, very scary. But I'm happy they were able to push through and make the most of it, because that's what's important, you know.
Yeah, this is the in Georgia, the country of Georgia.
Oh, Georgia.
Yes.
The country.
I know. I actually mix up those two.
I was confused, too.
Well.
I was like, wait, is this
you
the country?
Heard of Tbilisi.
I thought you were talking about, like Georgia, the state. But I'm glad you...
Yeah.
Thank you
no,
for
totally.
Clarifying.
Now, as you know, Disney's 1985 animated film, The Little Mermaid, is being made into a live-action movie. Everyone was thrilled about it, the big casting decision. Well, the author of the original, The Little Mermaid, was actually bisexual, and he wrote it after his male crush rejected him. Who knew? I love these stories behind the story, don't you? When Danish author Hans Christian Andersen wrote The Little Mermaid as a short fairy tale in 1837, he did it in a way to illustrate his failed attempt to woo a heterosexual man named Edward Cullen. Many biographers say that Anderson, who was attracted to both men and women, had wanted Cullen, even though Cullen was of higher class and disapproved of his romantic gestures to him. So you could see how maybe it was kind of like, I guess, the story of The Little Mermaid.
No, because the real version of The Little Mermaid is actually a very dark story. Like, it's like Ursula was like super jealous of Triton, and like that's the reason why she was like even like kind of trying to mess with Triton's daughter, who was Ariel. And Ariel wasn't even the name of, you know, the mermaid. She was actually named the Little Mermaid. So the original version is like very, very dark. And Disney saw it and they remade it into
what
we know.
You read the original Little Mermaid book?
No, I've seen like the trailers for it and like the synopsis for it. Like, so it's like very dark. It's like, it's darker than the Disney classic, of course.
Thank God someone saw the light in that one.
I mean, Disney was just like, okay, this is cute. We can change a couple things.
All right. Now, next story in what's trending in the news. Someone set a gay pride flag, a light outside Harlem's Alibi Lounge in New York earlier today, a month after several rainbow banners were torched. You remember we covered the story in front of the same bar. Alexei Minko, the owner of the lounge, said he was petrified after learning from employees that it had happened again. It seems surreal. I think for about 10 seconds, I just stood there petrified and shocked. I thought it was a joke. It can't be real. I have no words. We really thought that it was over. A lesson from everyone that there was no place for hate anywhere, especially in Harlem. The new flag was given to the establishment by an anonymous donor, and police still don't know if the latest flag burner is connected with the previous incident. Cops are investigating it as a possible bias crime, which is interesting. I've never heard that, bias crime.
I mean, because they don't want to call it a hate crime. Because that's what it is.
Okay, well, that was what's trending in the news top of the hour right here on Let's Go There. Now, we are getting into our question of the day. Do you believe in aliens? Please give us a call. We want to hear from you because a lot of people have different theories about this. Some people have seen aliens. Some people just believe in them. 833-77-CALL-Q is our number. 833-772-2557. This was inspired by a celebrity. We'll be telling you who after this.
Well, if they heard our promo, they probably know we're talking about Miley Cyrus.
Damn it.
I don't know what you're What a sell it, Shira.
Yeah, well, there you go.
I think Shira has been inhabited by an alien.
Maybe.
That's not really Shira.
So
right
Miley
now.
Cyrus did talk about how she connected with aliens at Stonehenge after her Glastonbury performance. So once again, yes, it brought up the question, do you believe in aliens? And we get to kind of, I guess, poke fun a bit at Miley Cyrus because she's always fun to poke fun at. After this on Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan on the new Channel Q on your radio and radio.com.
Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan.
Our question of the day has been, do you believe in aliens? And now we had our thoughts on it, you know, our expert thoughts. We had
I couldn't tell if you wanted
space.com.
To laugh during that entire last
No,
break.
I love our space.com writer, PhD, Mike. I think it's actually really cool. I think anything having to do with space, if you're a space expert, you're cool.
I was like, I was really about to ask you, is this where you're drawing the line, Shira, where it's too hippie for you to be talking about aliens?
No.
Is this the hill?
Oh,
it
yeah.
It was funny. It was funny.
So once again, do you believe in aliens? You can give us a call right now to share your thoughts and also possible alien stories. Just saying. I know some of you have some alien stories. 833-77-CALL-Q. 833-772-2557. What are people saying on social media?
No. Someone also said,
whoa, that was intense.
Yeah, no one said, someone just said no. Also, someone replied to that saying, more suns and planets than grains of sand on Earth, and you don't think there is intelligent life besides us out there? And then they reply back saying, of course I do, but not aliens. I'm afraid that's oddly too specific for me. I believe that there is something bigger than us, but I wouldn't specify it.
Interesting.
Joe said, over the years, there has been speculation such on late-night talk shows to weather balloons and small aircrafts. People say look like UFOs, but aliens, not seen any yet. Well, and then he made a joke saying, America voted for one, right? Just
Ooh.
Kidding.
Well, you know, our producer Vanessa says she
you
saw
love
a UFO.
Putting people on the spot. She did not want to go on here and talk about it.
She did talk about seeing.
She talked to it with us.
So that's, you know, us is everyone here. Can you just share your UFO story?
All right, let's go there. Tomorrow's about
because
boundaries.
Because I've been forced. So when I was in Colombia, I was in my house terrace with my cousins. We were children and we were playing and we all saw this. I'm pretty sure it was a UFO. It just like went up, like, on our view, and then we all saw it disappear, and then we all freaked out. We're like, whoa, did you see that? Like, all of us at the same time. And now when I go to Colombia, and we tell stories, we're like, do you guys remember when we saw that UFO? Because we all saw it with our own eyes. It's real.
I used to think that I had magical abilities, but guess what? I don't.
What does that mean?
That I don't think just a common occurrence of seeing an alien is going to happen that simple.
I don't know. I think, you know what? I'm happy producer Vanessa shared her story because, imagine this show without that story.
I can imagine way better things.
Because, you know what? We need to include one person at least who's seen
Shira
one.
Shira wants some alien representation. She's fighting for that. 2020 elections.
We're just alien posers here.
Alien representation. Back to social media responses. That's says, amazing. Depends. I don't believe super advanced aliens are capable of space travel exists. Life on other planets, like microorganisms, plants, maybe animals, almost definitely. Interesting. Someone says space aliens, maybe. The universe is a big place, which is exactly why it's extremely unlikely any would be anywhere close to our solar system.
Yes.
That is actually a scary thought that I've thought about. Like, imagining being, especially that movie that Sandra Bullock was in, and she was, like, stranded in space. I imagine, like, that happening, and you're just, like, just stuck in space with, like, how do you, like, you don't do anything. Like, you
That's
just
why it's
to...
a movie.
No, but you never know. Like, people are talking about space travel and being able to, like, you know, Gaga talk about she going to perform on the moon. Like, that's like
a
whole
thing.
Yeah, that's
because her and Elon Musk hang out together, and it's like they all have, like, deep dive conversations and brainstorms about their dreams, like, including what they want to...
gravity, by the way.
Yeah, what they want to do in space. You know, and now there's lists of really rich people who say they're going to go to space and all that. I think the aliens are going to come out when those rich people go to the planet, and they're going to be like, get out of here.
Maybe. Or they're already living here, and they're running all of the world
already. I think
they're
living here, but we can't see them. And then that's why if we're good people, then they know they will help us. Maybe aliens are actually like the spirits helping us and angels.
I've never wanted to end my life more than today.
We're not even stoned right now having this conversation.
I cannot believe this is not a let's go there. But no, I actually, it's interesting. And like, you know, Dr. Mike said, you know, he feels like it's very arrogant to believe that there is no one nor anything else outside of our planet. And I truly believe that. And honestly, it all goes along with our previous conversations that we've had today about climate change. And if we don't get this stuff together, we're going to have to figure something out.
Look at you. You're bringing it all together.
I'm trying to, so people don't think we're just Looney Tunes. It's like, they're like, did they take shrooms
this
today?
This is what happens when you have a long weekend. You haven't been on the air for a few days. You are just fine. Okay. Our Yas Queen of the Day is coming up right now. We have an inspiring story as we wrap up the first day of this wonderful week. You're listening to Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan on the new Channel Q on your radio and radio.com. As we wrap up the day, we're bringing you our Yas Queen of the Day.
Yas Queen.
Oh, that was an interesting one. Did the aliens take you over?
Wow, I'm trying to be creative and spice this up.
You are. No, I love it. Okay, so we love this story about the search for a dress for an autistic little girl that brought everyone together. So this is what happened. Deborah Price asked for help in locating a discontinued dress for a friend's autistic child and was just delighted when people came together to find, adapt, or make one. Now, she posted this on Twitter saying that, you know, a friend's autistic daughter only wears this dress. Don't judge. Sometimes people can't cope with certain stuff, and it doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things, does it? Question is, has anyone seen this anywhere? Well, let me tell you, the social media community came together. One person says, I don't have this dress, but I'd be happy to make you something similar with the same fabric. Another person said, my 12-year-old has got one in a size 12 years. If you send me your address, we'll pop it in the post. Can you believe that, how nice people can be? There's a lot of bad people out there, but a lot of nice people. Other parents of autistic children found the story very relatable, saying no reason to judge fabrics and loved logos, pictures, because it's a dress with a heart on it, are very important and can be grounding for some, vital to some on the spectrum. My son finds uniform tricky and it impacts negatively. Someone else said, this is lovely. Autistic son loves his Crocodile Man action figure. He broke one of the arms off, and my beautiful wife-to-be managed to find a replacement on eBay. Great that the good people in the universe got together to make this happen.
That is the one powerful thing about social media. And y'all already know how I have a soft spot in my heart for autistic and just autism in general, for that and children that have it and people. And it's just very, it's really happy. That makes me very happy to see a beautiful story like this.
Yes. So,
and how it can just bring people together. It's just beautiful.
So Yaz Queen to this woman, yeah. Deborah Price, who started this movement on social media, and to everyone who decided to participate and help others and not just think about themselves this day and age. So Yaz Queen of the day. And if you want to nominate someone for a Yaz Queen, then just hit us up on social media at We Are Channel Q. We do this every single day. And that does it for today's show. But guess what? We are back tomorrow, aren't we?
I mean, we very much are. We'll go back to the ice cream real quick.
Oh, wow.
I wonder if that's kind of like beautiful that you can have, like, especially as a parent, like, you can go to, like, the internet now and you can find these, like, parent groups that will help you.
Totally.
Through, like, your stresses. Because I feel like I would be stressing. I'd be like, how am I supposed to do things? And then you just tweet something and it's like all these people come together. Like, that's, like, pretty bad.
And you don't even realize, I think, the power of that until you have a child.
Yes.
And so we're just living on the outside right now.
No, I have a dog. It's the same thing.
The dog child. Okay.
It is the same thing.
So we are back tomorrow with more craziness and information for you.
I mean, it's they're excited. They're excited for that.
So we do this every single Tuesday. Hear Me Out Tuesdays. We have some amazing therapists joining us. And tomorrow we're looking at cheating in a relationship. Can you recover? Or is it true that once a cheater, always a cheater? And also Eric Swalwell, who is running for president, one of the Democrats. Well, he is ending his presidential campaign. So should other candidates follow his lead? That's tomorrow on Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan, right here on the new Channel Q. 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern. And right after this, we've got Love Line with Dr. Chris, so stay tuned for that. We are sending you love and lights.
And honey, remember to slay.
See you tomorrow.